Loving God, as we consider this scripture together this morning, please open our eyes and our hearts afresh that we might see and know the Lord Jesus as he really is. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. When we read in the Gospels about the real Jesus, the Jesus of history, one thing we notice is how surprising he often is. Again and again, he confounded the expectations of his contemporaries. They were expecting one thing from the Messiah, and then he says and does something else. And I find when I'm reading in the Gospels, again and again, I'm surprised. Jesus says or does something completely unexpected, completely different to what I thought he would say or do. And that is true in the Gospel reading that we have just heard. So I hope to take a fresh look this morning at a familiar passage and to see three things Jesus does which are surprising. The real Jesus, different to what we might expect. And they'll show us realities about following the risen Jesus today. The first surprise is Jesus' surprising honesty. Surprising honesty about the cost of following him. Let me read from verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Surprising honesty about the cost of following him. This teacher of the law is very enthusiastic to follow Jesus, but has he considered the cost that would be involved? Jesus says that while foxes and birds have homes, he's a travelling preacher. He's got no fixed home. And of course, his followers would have to share in those hardships on the road. Long days walking, cold nights in the barn, no creature comforts, no feather beds, no bubble baths, no cappuccinos. For the first followers of Jesus. And he wants the man to think about it. Has he counted the cost? Has he realized that following Jesus will involve hardship? Well, still today, following Jesus involves hardship. Brothers and sisters around the world persecuted for their faith. But we too will face it at times. If we take Jesus seriously in our lives, we may have the social hardship of being left out socially by those who find that too uncomfortable at times. If we share in Jesus' compassion for the needy and suffering, well, we may face hardship at times of giving our time, our love, our resources to those who are in need. Jesus is completely trustworthy and he's honest from the outset. There's a cost in following him. Well, in verse 21, we meet a second disciple, and he's not too enthusiastic. The second one is too reluctant. Another disciple said to Jesus, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." That's such a shocking thing for Jesus to say. In that culture, family was considered the very first priority. Now, this man's father may just have died, and he may be saying, "I need to plan the funeral." More likely, the man's father was elderly, and he's saying, "Let me take care of him for the rest of his life, and then I will follow you, Jesus, after that." But the point is, for this man, it's now or never for following Jesus. He's coming through his town. He'll be off somewhere else. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me." He says, trusting him, following him, is more important than anything else. He says it's a matter of spiritual life and death. Jesus came so that by following him we might have life with God now and forever. Without Jesus, we don't have those things. And so he says, whatever it takes, follow me. That's Jesus' surprising honesty. He's upfront with these people. There will be a cost, hardship involved in following him. But it is more important than anything else. We see second in our lesson, Jesus' surprising power. This comes in the familiar story of Jesus calming the storm. If we think about it, the story shows that Jesus has a power that is greater than we can imagine. Matthew describes this storm on the Sea of Galilee. It came up suddenly. It was a furious storm with waves breaking over the boat, and the disciples were terrified. Now, I can understand how the disciples feel. I love sailing, as some of you know, but I hate storms because I'm particularly prone to seasickness. So in a storm, I go through two phases. In the first phase, I feel so bad that I worry I'm going to die. Then about an hour later, I enter phase two, which is I'm still alive and I feel so terrible, I worry I'm not going to die. Well, the disciples in this storm have gone way through both of those phases, and they wake Jesus saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Now, what do you think the disciples expected Jesus to do? I suppose they thought maybe he would take one of the oars and help them row to safety. Or perhaps they thought he would advise them on the best way to negotiate through this storm. Maybe they were hoping he would take the ship's wheel or tiller and steer them back to shore. But they cannot have expected his surprising power. Verse 26, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. So a word from Jesus and flat calm in 360 degrees. His surprising power. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." Well might they ask. In the Old Testament, it's only God who can command the seas. For example, in the book of Job in chapter 38. The disciples are realizing that Jesus is so much more than they first imagined. Yes, he's a wise teacher. Yes, he's a great example. But he's so much more than that. Here in the boat with them is the God who made them, the Son of God, who deserves their worship. Now, Jesus calls his disciples, "You of little faith." And I guess oftentimes we feel the same. We feel that we're those of little faith. And there's great encouragement for us here if we think that. Because we see that even their little faith was enough to save them. When it comes to faith, what counts is who we're trusting. That's more important than how big or little our trust is. With our faith in Jesus, we're trusting the right person. And over time, as the disciples spent time with Jesus, their little faith grew into a big faith. And the same can be true of us. So Jesus has surprising power, more than we might imagine. Last week, if you were here, we read of Jesus touching the man with leprosy. He also has surprising love, more than you might imagine. So in the storms of life, maybe we face turmoil in our private lives, in our families, in our working lives. In these storms, let's do what the disciples did and pray to Jesus for help. He has a power and love greater than we know. We see here in this account, Jesus doesn't necessarily use his power to keep us from the storms of life, but he uses his power to help us through them. So the surprising honesty of Jesus, he's up front, there's a cost to following him. His surprising power, he's able to do more than we ask or imagine. Then in the final section of the reading, we see Jesus' surprising priority. He cares more for people than for possessions. I have a friend who collects rare 18th century letters. It's quite a hobby. So he has these rare and valuable manuscripts written by the greats of the past. And he keeps them at home. And one day he was telephoned at work by his daughter to tell him the serious news that while she'd been at home, there'd been a burglary. And quick as a flash, my friend said, "Did they find my letters?" It was an embarrassing moment. His priorities had been exposed. Not, "Are you okay, my dear daughter?" but, "Have they discovered the letters?" And I think things like that happen to all of us from time to time. But not with Jesus. We see his priority is in the right place. Let me read
from the final part of our reading in verse 28. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. This account raises a number of questions. We might ask, what does it mean that these men were demon-possessed? What does that mean? Now, I don't know much about these terrible things, but there are two mistakes that we can make in thinking about the devil. One is the mistake of denying the devil's existence. But the Bible maintains that the devil is real. It is the devil who led mankind to turn from God and be alienated from our Creator. These two poor men were in his grip. I don't know if demon possession like this occurred just in Jesus' day or if it occurs somehow today. But when we see the evil in our world, it's clear that in a sense, the whole world is in the devil's hands, following him in his rebellion against God. His destructive influence is still strong in our world and our hearts today. So if one mistake is to deny the devil's existence, the other mistake is to think about the devil too much, or to think too much of the devil. Because we see here that Jesus has total power over evil. He only has to say one word, "Go," and the demons are driven out. Again, in the book of Job, it is God who has authority to command the devil. And we see here that Jesus has that authority. He came into the world to free people from the grip of evil. It's actually a picture of what he will one day do in driving all evil from the world. Another question we might ask of this account is, why did Jesus send the demons into the pigs? What about the poor pigs? Well, I'm not entirely sure why Jesus did that. I suspect it was probably to give an unmistakable visual indication of what he'd done. That terrible destructive evil in the people cast out into the pigs so people could see clearly what had happened. But did you notice at the end of the reading, it presented the people of the town with a choice, a test of their priorities. Which did they care for more? The people who'd been demon-possessed? Or the pigs? What would you have done in their shoes? Would you have been pleased that Jesus had set these two poor people free, even at the cost of the pigs? Or would you have resented it? Well, these people, shockingly, pleaded with Jesus to leave their region. They would rather have had the pigs than the people. They'd rather have had the money those pigs represented than the men. They cared more for silver than for souls. It's Jesus' surprising priority. Well, still today, Jesus' priorities are often different from ours, and it can be challenging. His priority for our lives and for the world is not actually, firstly, material things, money, comfort, and ease. Now, his priority is spiritual freedom, spiritual welfare, that we and other people might be set free from the devil and brought to know God. And as Jesus works in our lives as we follow him, again, his priority is that more and more we'd be set free from the sin that ensnares us and free to live lives that are good and holy and righteous. It's a surprising priority of Jesus. Not firstly material things, but spiritual welfare and freedom. And many, like these townspeople, don't like it. So when we read of Jesus in the Gospels, look out for the surprises. Look out for the things he does that are unexpected, that are not what we would have said or done. We see his surprising honesty. There's a cost to following him. his surprising power. He's able to do more than we might imagine to help us in the storms of life. And his surprising priority, not pigs and prosperity, but spiritual freedom and spiritual health. Amen.